Good morning, everyone. Happy Monday from the Mike Broomhead Show. Suns in four. This is what it sound like. The voice of your Phoenix Suns and the final call.
Rebound, Bridges underneath. Gets the ball to DeAndre Ayton for a wham, bam, slam. And you can tell this one bye-bye, baby. And the Suns are going to move on to the Western Conference Finals. They lead at 118-107.
A big game for the Phoenix Suns as they eliminate, and I cannot wait this morning, Steve, to talk to our friend Gatos and tell him just how wrong his prediction was. The two of the greatest things that happened yesterday was the Suns sweep, so they win the series, and Gatos was wrong. How good of a night was last night?
Well, that's the best way to be wrong, by the way.
Yes, but he was wrong.
To predict that the Suns would win in five, and then they actually win in four.
Yeah. But,
so I think he'll be okay with it, but we should still hold him accountable.
Of course, yeah, because Nostragatos was wrong. So it was great watching the game last night, and it's so much fun to be a part of this. And I admit I am a bandwagon fan on this one. I am not a huge – I don't know a whole lot about basketball. I'm a very, very casual fan. Although watching this team is so much fun to watch. Monty Williams, this coach, is incredible. Hearing the post-game stuff, there's a lot of teams – well, Arizona's known for being people's second favorite team because so many people here are transplants. So they come from other states. They bring their favorite team with them. And when their favorite team's not playing, they like the Suns or they like the D-backs or they like whoever, the Coyotes, the Cardinals. And so we are known for that. What we've watched is an evolution with other sports, except when it comes to the Suns. This is a Suns town because they've been here for so long. But nationally now, people are starting to catch on to how much fun this team is to watch. If you don't like the story of Chris Paul and the leadership on this team and how Devin Booker has really blossomed into a superstar and how the rest of this team has come together under a great coach who there is a combination of the utmost confidence and holding people to a high standard and humility in Monty Williams. After the game last night, and again, the X's and O's of the game, I'm such a casual fan, but Monty Williams, after this was over, exemplifies what every coach in the league should be.
You know, Chris has meant so much to my career. He's meant so much to my life. I've shared it with a few people, but at the darkest moment of my life, Chris was right there. And, you know, one of the highlights of my career, he's right there. And so I'm just grateful to God for him and all of our guys. And that's where it is right now. I'm not really good at waxing eloquent about how I feel other than just telling you I just feel grateful for this opportunity and to be in this on this team in this moment and have a chance to move forward.
And Chris Paul talking about the fans and the response. That great picture last night, and you probably have seen it all over the internet, of Chris Paul addressing the Suns fans that were in the arena. And it was incredible to see how many Suns fans were there in Denver. As a matter of fact, after the game was over, they were talking about it on the broadcast, saying that at the times it sounded in that arena like a Suns home game. But here's what Chris Paul said.
We're just going to keep playing hard. You know, you never know what the future holds. We're going to keep playing hard. Now we're going to get some rest, some much-needed rest. But it's special, man. And these fans, we thank y'all so much, man. Seriously. Got my moms and pops here, my older brother.
And the superstar Devin Booker about playing in the playoffs.
Hey, man, I feel good. I feel really good, man. I've been waiting on this for a really long time. Just playoff basketball in general. You know, a lot of people have been saying, you know, I haven't played any meaningful basketball and, you know, I'm not ready for that. And, you know, this is my time to prove it. So, you know, we're having fun with the whole team's having fun with it. Having great leaders like CP, Jay Crowder, Coach Monty around here helps out a lot. So we're having fun with it.
They are going to be a really tough out. They play team basketball, and I can tell you from it doesn't matter what the sport is, when you have a locker room full of people all pulling in the same direction and pulling for each other and sharing with each other and nobody needs to steal the show. You don't hear these guys talking about touches and who gets more minutes, and they just work as a team. When someone is not having a good night, someone else has a great night and vice versa. And they're just a great bunch of guys to watch play. And for all of the longtime Phoenix Suns fans, I can feel you on that drought, and I understand how that feels. It's terrible to have such a franchise as the Phoenix Suns were for so long, and then to go through that drought of so long and not making the playoffs and being a bad team and watching good players leave here and thrive with other franchises, this seems to be, for me, watching Suns fans. And again, I would say I'm a bandwagon fan. I'm all in for these Suns. I hope they go all the way with this team. But for the people that have been diehard Suns fans their whole life, and watching the reemergence of the Phoenix Suns, and not just becoming a great team, but doing it in such a fun way, to watch guys who, you know, pick your favorite. When you think about this team, pick your favorite. Is it Chris Paul and his leadership, Devin Booker, Jay Crowder? Pick any one of these guys on this team. Or how about the coach, Monty Williams? If you remember watching the Cardinals for so long and watching them flounder for a long time and then go to a Super Bowl and be in the playoffs quite often. They're in the toughest division in football right now. But watching that team become a fan favorite in town, the Phoenix Suns once again have downtown Phoenix. And this is another thing, when not only is this a great franchise, but everything they're doing is in downtown Phoenix. If you know, downtown Phoenix needs to grow. Let's be honest, for a major city, there's not a whole lot happening in downtown Phoenix. There's not a lot going on downtown, except for right now. Downtown Phoenix is buzzing. People just want to be near that arena. And I think it's terrific. Now, who they play next, I guess it doesn't necessarily matter. They lost 2 out of 3 to the Clippers, but they swept the Utah Jazz. So I guess in that sense, you know, you would say I'd rather have the Jazz, except they're the number one seed and they would have home court advantage. So does it matter in the next round? They get a week off while the Jazz and the Clippers fight it out and hope that series goes 7. You know, you'd like to have some fresh legs against some tired legs going into the next series. But what a game, what a series they put on. What did you think of the call when the Joker got ejected?
So there was a play where he kind of swatted at campaign.
Kinda.
Yeah, he definitely swatted. He got his face.
He did.
At first, it kind of looked like he barely hit him in the face, but he definitely got him. Looked like right around the nose area. And they gave him a flagrant 2 and ejected him. I get both sides of this. I get people who are like, you can't eject the MVP in a playoff game, you know, on that. I get that. But the referee explained it really well, I thought. He said, you know what? He wound up. He made contact with the face. That's a flagrant 2. There was a follow-through on it and everything. So by the book, yeah, flagrant 2. It did kind of stink that it happened to be the MVP.
But you have to be more disciplined than that if you're the MVP and the team leader.
Yeah, he shouldn't have done it.
You've got to not put yourself in that position.
I don't think it changed the game at all, because quite frankly, the Nuggets played better after he got ejected.
They did.
So I don't think it affected the outcome of the game or the series.
I don't either. There would be a question of that if the series were tight, but they were already down 3-0, and this was the closest game they've played out of all 4. It ended the closest. I mean, it was a nail biter. They got that lead down to 2 at one point in the fourth quarter. So,
yeah, and I've seen people say that if it was a 2-2 series, or, you know, if it was closer, would he have been ejected? And a lot of people say he wouldn't have. I don't know about that. I guess it depends on the refs that night, but I didn't think it affected anything.
Listen,
too desperately.
I'm a big college football fan, and watching, you know, the rules in college football, and in the NFL too, but especially in college football with the ejection rule, if you lead with your helmet, if you lead with the crown of your helmet, and they will eject you. That's a flat-out rule to try to stop any injuries from happening. And I've watched a couple of my boys from the Miami Hurricanes that happened to, where they've been ejected, and it was not intentional necessarily. They were just making a play, but it's the rule. And if you're going to enforce a rule, you got to enforce it against everybody. Now, here's the question. Would LeBron have been ejected?
Based on the explanation from the referee, if exactly the same thing happened, I think he probably would have.
I don't know. He didn't have any problems with the protocol for COVID that he obviously broke.
Yeah, that's a different thing. But yeah,
there are two sets of rules. That's all I'm pointing out.
Yeah, it depends on who you are, I suppose.
Yeah, and that's so great win for your Phoenix Suns. Hope that this ship keeps on sailing this way. They're doing a great job. In a moment, we're going to talk about getting back to work, get back to serious business. Now that we've talked about the Suns, unemployment running out around the country. Which states are first, and when does Arizona end theirs? We'll talk about it next.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show, KTAR News, 92.3 FM, and the KTAR News app.
Hey, thanks again for being here. Happy Monday from the Mike Broomhead Show. Unemployment benefits are ending. Four states are cutting off federal unemployment benefits. Other states, including the state of Arizona, ours will end on July 10th. So that is the federal unemployment that people have been getting the benefit of. Interesting story. We've talked a lot about government involvement in things. You listen in such short bites a lot of times. You get impressions of how people feel about things that may be inaccurate. So some explanation probably necessary. I'm not an anarchist. I mean, government is a necessary evil, and it's necessary for us to have rules. We are a nation of laws. All of those things make sense. But as much as can be done in the private sector, I think it should be. Here's an example of bureaucracy. This is just the nature of government. I'm not blaming one party or the other. I'm just saying it's the nature of the beast. We have an immense budget and an immense government. And any business will talk about waste. When you compare the way the government runs to how a private sector business runs, there are high expectations. Let's all be brutally honest, and it doesn't matter what party is in charge. If the federal government, if the regular business, if you ran your business and you cooked your books the way the federal government cooks its books, you would go to prison. Is Social Security by itself, what was promised and how it's handled, and the shell game that is, that's bankrupting America. When you look at Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, those programs are what's causing our deficits. We have almost a balanced budget with everything else except for those three programs, and nothing ever gets fixed because it's just kicking the can. Half of the pandemic unemployment money from the past year was stolen, and the bulk of it went to foreign gangs or foreign syndicates. They were able to scam this money away, and it's probably going to be, especially if it's foreign governments or not governments, but foreign people. How are we going to get them and extradite them to the U.S. to get the money back? Again, without all the blame, it started under the Trump administration. The unemployment money continues under the Biden administration. Democrats led the Congress or the House, but Republicans had the Senate. So who do you blame? It's everybody. It's the system and the way that it is. Now, when it comes to the unemployment benefits that are here, I talked about this last week. This is the danger that I feel. And do I overtly blame people for it? Not necessarily. There are reasons for a lot of things that happen. But we have been, at least the people that I know, have been motivated. One of the things we love about sports, we're watching the Phoenix Suns play right now, is these are elite level athletes, but they also have the work ethic of a journeyman. And what I mean by that is when you've watched players that have gone on to the NFL after being college superstars and then they fail in the NFL, it's because for a long time their talent took them as far as they could take them. And after that, you've got to work hard because everybody you're with is an elite athlete. Well, it's like that in the work world as well. There's a lot of times, I have friends in school that it was just easy for them. I had a couple of friends. My friend Scott was just brilliant in school. He just aced everything. It was just simple for him. My buddy Kevin's younger brother, Andrew, was failed out of high school, but aced his SATs. He was just a brilliant guy. When you get to the level with the elites of whatever world you're in, you've got to have not only the talent, but you have to have the work ethic. And I wonder what's going on with our work ethic in America when so many people are staying home instead of going to work when there's jobs available. How can someone look themselves in the mirror and say, and I'm not talking about the circumstances when you can't go back to work. I'm talking about when you won't go back to work, when it's easier for you to sit home and collect as much or close to or more money at home than it is to go out and actually be productive. That's when things get sideways. And I wonder how we've gotten there. That to me is one of the scariest things we've seen, is that we've got to convince people to go back to work. People should want to get back to work. Gatos is going to join me in a minute. It's the Big Q poll question of the day. And just after 9 o'clock, our president meets with Vladimir Putin. They are comparing it to Reagan Gorbachev. Will it even be close? We'll talk about all this stuff next.
The Gatos Big Q poll question, brought to you by your Valley Toyota dealers.
Hey, good morning, Gatos. Happy Monday. I imagine today is the first time you were ever happy to admit you were wrong.
What was I wrong about?
Suns in five.
Suns in four.
Did I misunderstand you?
What do you mean? We don't. What are you trying to say?
I'm trying to say that I was very elated last night. I said to Steve this morning, this is a great day. Number one, the Suns win. But number two, the Suns win. But you were wrong. You're going to have to admit you were wrong.
I have no idea what you're talking about. I honestly have no idea what you're talking about. You know, it's funny because I've been on the phone today. I've called some of your Republican friends, and we're
let's be honest. Wait, be fair. Be fair, Gatos. Oh. You know what's going on right now. I don't have any Republican friends right now.
I called some of your former Republican friends, and they agree that they heard me actually say, Sons, in four.
What a great series, huh?
You can't predict a sweep.
No.
You can do it in the middle of the series. That's pretty, you know, because if you, after game two, if you looked at this, you said, listen, Denver's not going
to
win a
game. And we lost two out of three to them in the regular season. They went two games into overtime. We won one in regulation, but it was a squeaker. I mean, they blew that team out of the gym every night.
Yeah. You know, I thought it was good yesterday that it was somewhat close. But, you know, I was watching, you know, we're all watching this game. I'm watching the game yesterday, and, you know, they're up by 15. One point they were up by 4 or 5. And I had no doubt that the Suns were going to win. I never felt that the game was in jeopardy. And that's pretty much how I felt the entire playoffs. I just think as soon as they step on the court, I don't think anybody could beat them right now. You know, we'll see in the next round because obviously it gets harder and harder as you go. But I mean, that was a butt whooping.
So your choice. You're a much bigger fan than I am of the Suns. I admit I'm a bandwagon guy. I jumped on when they started playing so well.
Yeah.
But who do you want to see them play? Now they swept the Jazz in the regular season. They lost 2 out of 3 to the Clippers. But if we play the Clippers, we get home court advantage. Do you care or do you have a preference?
I think it's a bigger series if you play Utah. I think it's more fun. I think it feels bigger. But I think when you play, you make a great point. When you play the Clippers, you have home court advantage, and the Suns are awesome at home. So, you know, if it's me, honestly, you know, I've said this from the beginning. Like, people didn't want the Suns to play the Lakers. I'm like, oh, I want to play the Lakers. This is going to be fun. Let's beat the Lakers. So I would like to see the Utah Jazz take on the Suns. And, you know, we'll probably be the underdog going in, and I'm fine with that.
I was
going to
ask, do you think they'll finally become the favorite, no matter who they face?
If it's the Clippers, maybe, but if it's Utah, I don't think so. I don't think so. The national media just has not, you know, grasped the fact that the Suns team is awesome. I mean, a lot of people picked Denver in the last series to beat
the
Suns.
They picked the Lakers. Everybody picked the Lakers.
Everybody.
And the majority of the experts, including former players, picked the Nuggets to beat the Suns.
Yeah, and they're all wrong.
Yeah.
So we're enjoying it.
Yeah. And let's just hope that this series between the Clippers and the Jazz goes 7. 7 in a couple of overtime games.
Jazz in 7.
What's the question this morning?
What should the Suns players do with their time off as they await the winner of Utah-LA? A, leave town this week. It's going to be 118. Ugh. B, go to the other arena and look for Bamboo.
That was going to be one of my choices. Yeah. I was actually going to pick that one. Good for you.
Play a pickup game with a bunch of seventh graders. That should pose a greater threat than Denver. I have another one. How about you know, the Suns 5 take over the top 5 spots with the D-backs? Can't get any worse.
Bad for the D-backs. They are not playing good ball right now.
Oh, that is a bad team. That baseball is so boring, but when you're the worst team in baseball, it's extra boring.
I don't know. There's always the Pirates.
Well, the Pirates are there, aren't they?
They're playing like the Bad News Bears right now.
Hey, it doesn't matter. The Suns could Diamondbacks could lose every game this year, and no one would care because the Suns are in the Western Conference Finals.
Absolutely.
And by the way, did you see the fans at the airport?
Yes,
that was
unbelievable.
Yeah.
All right, Gatos, thanks as always. Look forward to hearing you this afternoon.
All right, see you, Mike.
All right, the Big Q poll question today brought to you by your Valley Toyota dealers. We'll talk Russia next.